Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I want you to look to your neighbor to the left or the right and slap him and say, we have hope. We have make sure they woke. Make sure they woke. Make sure they woke. We have hope. You may be seated. We have hope. We have hope. We can stop right there. We have hope. We have hope. Ever since the sin that Adam brought into this world, we've had to deal with grief. We can't escape it. Grief is a part of our common human experience. We also see this truth reflected in Scripture. Throughout the Old and New Testament, people express sorrow by weeping, lamenting to God, and even tearing off their clothes and putting on sackcloth and ashes as a public sign of their grief. Abraham grieved the loss of his wife, Sarah. Joseph grieved at the loss of his father. David grieved at the loss of his child. Mary and Martha grieved at the loss of their brother. We even see that Jesus grieved at the death of his friend Lazarus. And he also grieved and came overwhelmed with sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, tells us that there is an appointed time for everything, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep, time to laugh, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance. As long as the earth remains, we're going to have to deal with grief. Oftentimes, it has been my understanding, me personally, that we do not deal with grief well. Grief is something that can literally take the wind out of you. Grief can debilitate the limbs of your body to where you feel as though you can't even move. Grief can make you blind to all the other great things and good things of God that are around you because you're faced with this situation and the emotion of grief. This is my Mount Rushmore of grief. God is so good to me that he saved me before he allowed me to face some of the grief that he knew was going to happen in my life. Before I got saved, there were only two people that were very close to me that I could consider that I was grieved over. My cousin Wesley died March 1998 on his 21st birthday in a hospital at UAB. He was born with a heart condition and he died on his birthday. I remember it. I was in the barbershop getting a haircut. I got a cell phone call. Cousins died. Not saved, straight to the world, drunk, high as I could be for I don't know how long. Second time, 2007, April the 8th, 2007, Easter Sunday, I get a call from my best friend's sister. Ducked and got killed in Iraq by IED. Blowed up. Unsaved. Lost my mind. Didn't know what to do. High for days. God is so good to me that he saved me before I had the opportunity to deal with what was going to be facing me. I got what started me on the path of getting my life together was a man by the name of Larry George. Larry George was my coworker at the McDuffie Coal Terminal downtown. Me and my best friend, who's a member of this church, Dante Todd, we worked there with Larry George. Larry George was a millwright. We were on what they call the labor gang, where we kept stuff clean and we washed filth with water hoses and things of that nature. Larry was working above us and we were working below. Larry walked past me and went up to do some work above my head, and we were working below, washing coal. The coal that we was washing slipped, caused the avalanche. Larry got caught under the coal. We didn't see where he got covered, but another coworker saw and told us he was over here. Me and Dante frantically went over there. All along, he was right where we thought he was. We dug and dug and dug, couldn't find him over here. Then we said, man, let's just go back over here where we saw him go up at. Dug Dante, he ain't here, so I can say he touched him first. And when you touched this first, he fell out. Kept on digging, dug him out. He ended up dying. Now, unsaved still, but God had been dealing with me. This 2009, this March 2009. So I go to Larry George's funeral. I knew him from work. When I went to his funeral, I found out he was a deacon in this church. He was very active in the ministry there. He was a loving husband and father, not just a good co-worker to me, but I saw a glimpse into his life. And one night I was laying in my bed at home, and I had Larry's obituary up on the mantelpiece in my bedroom. And I couldn't sleep that night for some reason. I don't know why, and I was just looking at Larry's picture. Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, he said, Larry was ready. If that had been you, where would you be? Scared me to the core. Right then, I didn't know what to do, but I knew I had heard the Lord giving me a direction and a sign. That was March of 2000. Let's see how fast God works. That was March of 2000. Easter was that April. I was here at church chasing her. Trying to make it right with her. By August of 2009, we were remarried right here. I said that just to say how good God is and how we as believers have to hold to the scripture of what God said, how to deal with the things that he knows is going to happen to us. You see, when we experience loss, it is natural to grieve. However, scripture tells us that we have hope. So what is hope? Glad you asked. See, most people understand hope as wishful thinking, as in hoping something will happen. Like, I hope it don't rain today. Or I hope my lottery ticket come through. This is not what the Bible means by hope. The biblical definition of hope is confident expectation. You see, hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear and unknown. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is what? the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. You all know that's the hall of faith chapter. That's what we like to call it. How it talks about Abraham and how much faith do you have to have and hope that God is going to do something for you to listen to the word of God and do be like Abraham and say, I'm going to take my son up here and I'm going to sacrifice him. See, 1 Peter 1 and 3 said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. John, the 6th chapter, 47th verse, says, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes has eternal life. You see, hope is the foundation of our faith. So when we accept the gift of eternal life, our hope is no longer filled with doubt, but rather has its sure foundation on who God's word is, in the entirety of God's character, and the finished work of our Lord and Jesus Christ. See, the first thing we got to understand if we want to have hope when we're dealing with grief is we have to have a sure foundation of who Jesus Christ is in our life. The only thing that will keep us from grieving as those who have no hope is you have to know who hope is. You got to have a full understanding. You can't be wavering to the left or the right. You got to have a sure foundation planted on the rock of the word of who Jesus Christ is and his living testimony that death is not the end. Help me, Holy Spirit. I can remember being paralyzed before I was saved, trying to gather myself to be able to walk into the service to see my cousin laid. I stood outside shaking, and one of my friends told me, said, man, you need to get it together. I'm like, how could I get it together? I'm fearful. I'm afraid. I don't know. He's dead. This is the end. I don't know what this means. He's 21 years old. How do I face this? I had no hope. I had no understanding of who God was for myself. So what I saw was, it's over. Not only is it's over, it could be over for me. See, death has a way. I learned this. Death ain't for the dead. Death is for the living. Death has a way of pulling back the wool, pulling back the sheet on your life, and exposing some areas that you think don't nobody know about. But death has a way of bringing it straight to the forefront. Death has a way of opening up your eyes to, when you've been trying to not look at some things in your life. Death puts it right at the forefront. Death reveals your heart. Death shows the condition that your heart is in. Come on, help me, Holy Spirit. I tell you this, I knew it was going to be like this. I knew. It's heavy. It's heavy. It's heavy. See, why do we have hope? We have hope because God promises to be near us when we're grieving. Psalms, the 34th and the 18th says, the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Oh, boy, death has a way of crushing you has a way of pressing you down so far you feel like you can't get up. You see, grief can pop up at any time. Well after the cards and the phone call stopped, God would still be there. See, I read a quote that said, no matter how bad your heart is broken, the world doesn't stop for your grief. See, don't nobody care that you lost your husband. Alabama Power don't care. AT&T don't care. None of them bill folks care. Some of your family and your friends, they don't care. They still want you to be the same thing you was before you went through or going through what you're going through. You got to understand that God is near the brokenhearted. See, God heals hearts broken by grief and sorrow. Psalms 147 and 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Can't nobody love me like Jesus. See, going to be some time when you be riding in the car sometime by yourself and a song may come on and next thing you know, you're crying and don't know. But you still got to keep on going. You got somewhere to be. You got somebody waiting on you. You're going to need yourself some Jesus. See, we can't clock out like the world. We can't do like the world do. The scripture tells us that we have to do it differently. We have to grieve differently. You know what they do. Let me put it this way. You might not know. Some of you have been good all your life. Some of you ain't never had to try to numb the pain. Some of you ain't not tried to drown yourself in some sorrows. Some of you ain't stayed up all night trying to get just one more little taste just so I could forget about it. Crickets. See, God invites us to honestly express our grief to him through prayer and lamenting. Psalms 31:9-10 said, be gracious to me, O Lord. That's a lament. Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief. My soul, my body too. For my life spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. It's okay to cry to God. Put down the phone. Go in your closet. Scream and holler to God. He can hear you. Not only do he hear you, he can help you. Don't hold it in. I still don't understand this, how people do like what David does and people who work with funeral homes and even us as being ministers sometimes. It is so hard for me. I'm talking about me. It is so hard for me to have to be on a program at a funeral and walk in first to the pulpit and stand up and see these grieving people come in with their loved ones and not want to break down and start crying myself. I don't know how, I don't even know who said to do that. I don't know what protocol that is. I know it's not Bible. Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus and he wept. He wept. I don't know who said that's what we got to do. Somebody help me with that. Because I don't know. It's so hard. I've been trying my best. That's why I'm so glad we don't have one of those like pulpits at our church. So when we have stuff like that, so either if I have to do something, I can do it. I can go over there and start back crying if I need to. Just saying. See, God knows our grief. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. You see, Jesus is well acquainted with our grief. Not in a generalized sort of way, but intimately, he's with us. He's walked among us. He's experienced life in human form. So he knows that when we take away our sorrows, he knows what we're going through. He knows what we're going through. 2018, my grandmother was 100 years old. She just died of old age. The woman who raised me, prayed for me, and got a chance to see me preach. Got a chance to see her prayers come up. That was November the 11th, 2018. 2019 rolls around. I'm at work. Get a phone call about 4 in the morning. It's my cousin, Emmanuel. He's a Mobile police officer. Man, you got to come to the hospital. Bozeman had an accident. He's supposed to be going back to Jacksonville. Bozeman had an accident. Need to come to the hospital. They're looking for the next of kin. Go to the hospital. My little brother, Boz, stationed in Jacksonville, came home for the weekend to go to one of his friend's funerals. The morning that he's supposed to be leaving, going back to Jacksonville, he's coming down Dolphin Street right before you get to Spring Hill Memorial Hospital, probably sleeping tired because he done drove from Jacksonville Friday, been up, sad at the funeral this Sunday morning. He get ready to go back, fall asleep at the wheel, hit the tree right in front of Spring Hill Memorial Hospital. Traumatic brain injury. Go to the hospital. What I know now, he was pretty much dead right then. 3-4 days later, we have to make the decision to take him off the ventilator and let him go. Little brother. Gone. What do you do with this? My children's favorite uncle. The one who always buying them stuff and making me look bad because gone. Mama, child. Now I got to be big brother, mama comforter, children comforter, all this. Grandmama just died. Ain't been a full year. Here's the kicker. The day we find out that we got to take him off the machine, it's 2019, y'all. Jamil is pregnant. We've been dealing with infertility for years. She pregnant. The morning before we got to go to the hospital, we had to go to the gynecologist office. We find out that day we having twins. Two babies. So I'm super excited by the fact that I'm going to go back to the hospital because I'm looking for a silver lining in what's going on with my little brother. Everybody at the hospital praying, hoping him. So I tell him, I said, look, the doctors tell us we got to take him out. I said, well, you know what? We're going to get through this. But how about this? It's going to be two babies that's going to come. It's going to replace them. It's going to be a boy. It's going to be a girl. We're going to name the boy Caleb Boaz Dutch. January 2020. 3 months later, Tamir's uncle passed. We go to his funeral. We go to the funeral all day. We come back home. We're taking off our clothes in the bathroom, in the closet, hanging our clothes up. Jamil sneezes, her water breaks. Go to the hospital. Oh, there's a tear in there. We're going to see what's going on. And this, that, and that. We leave Providence. The next day we go to USA Women and Children. I think it's about 2 days later or whatever. But January the 28th and the 29th, Amari is born the 28th. Too little to survive. Caleb is born the 29th. Too little to survive. Got to hold him till he stopped kicking. The doctors can't do nothing for him. He's warm in my hands. And he's kicking. And I'm looking at him. I'm loving on him. And Pastor is there. And Minister Antonio is there. And we literally having, my sister Shannon is there, a praise and worship session right there in the hospital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do I not resort back to what I used to do? Oh, a drink would be so good right now. Oh, if I had just a blunt to smoke, it'd make me forget about it. I'm talking about me now. We have hope. We don't grieve like those who don't have no hope. We stand on what God's word said, and we celebrate him through the midst of our grief so he can get the glory. So God said he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He also will never take nothing away from us that we can't live without. You see, that was 2021. It's not up there. But my daughter Erica, mama, had a bout with cancer. She died. My daughter's mom. I got a call from my daughter, who's a college student, trying to graduate, dealing with the loss of her mom. 2022, I'm laying on the couch, March 2022, laying on the couch. No, I'm skipping. Jamil daddy first, January 2022. Got to fly her to Chicago to go spend the weekend with her dad. Before she get home, I think she got home that a day later, he passed, January 2022. March 2022, phone call. Is this Jabari Dutch? Yes. You're a relative of Jerome Powell? Yes. Sorry to inform you, sir. Your father had an accident on the interstate. His vehicle flipped, and unfortunately, he succumbed to the accident, to a loss. Click. So you, hold up. Hold up, God. Hold up. I'm saved, God. I'm not doing the things I used to do, God. I'm at church. I'm tithing. I'm preaching your word. I'm teaching grief self. Granny gone. Bo's gone. Baby's gone. Now my daddy gone. God, you're going to have to explain this to me. I don't understand what I don't understand this. I don't understand this, God. You're going to have to help me get through with this. I'm trudging the crazy. I got to call these money all the way in California. Tell her granddad who is her biggest supporter and this, that, and the, Jamal. Just, oh my God. See, I didn't ever have a granddad. My granddad has passed before I was born. So I see some of you who are grandparents, you know what you mean to your grandchildren. Mm-mm. But God uses even our deepest grief for our good. Romans the 8th chapter, the other P favorite verse say, we know that all things works for the good with those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. See, if you ain't got no foundation or word to stand on, when you, I don't know what, that's my Mount Rushmore. That's my little story. Everybody got one. Everybody, I'm looking across, I have seen grief, and I believe just about some of, in a lot of the faces who are here today, but you still here. That's a testament of who God is, because we know we have hope. Lastly, grief is temporary. 1 Corinthians 54. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 54 says, but when this perishable puts on imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is important to remember that grief is temporary. When you are wrestling deeply with grief, it feels unending. But for those who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, death isn't permanent. Earth is just our temporary home because Jesus defeated death on the cross. We have eternity that waits for us. John 14:27 say, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, what we have to understand is grief can't go where God gonna take us. Grief cannot go where God is going to take us. It's on us to understand that when grief comes to our door, we are to respond in the way in what we are instructed in this word. Laugh, holler, hoot, scream, jump, just don't sin. You understand? Be mad. But don't cuss nobody out. Be hurt. But don't allow yourself to forget about who God is. Find somebody who knows Jesus, who can help you get pointed back to Jesus so that you can understand that in the midst of your grief, God is right there with you. That's all I got. Grief shall start tomorrow. If you ain't signed up, see me or my wife at the church, because grief shall, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful ministries that's offered that can help you get some tools on how to deal with your grief. We faced all of that in the midst. Jamia's daddy died, my daddy died, and everybody else who died was after grief share in 2021. We started grief share in 2021. So the twins hadn't died. We started it right after the twins died. And it was the best thing that could have happened. Because I know I don't look like what I've been through. I don't care. You ain't nobody got to tell me. I know. I know my wife don't look like what she went through. And God, in the midst of your grief, the book is called, it says going from mourning to joy. See, we could have been so stuck in our grief and our sorrow, said, well, we couldn't even been ready to and willing and able to receive that little baby we got back there now. Now, he don't replace what we lost, but Lord knows he's a bright spot in a lot of the things that we went through. Amen. Help me, Holy Spirit.